He told them a story. Look at a fig tree, any tree for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happen, you know God's beloved community is about here. Don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the human one.
I invite you to stand as you're moved, and we'll sing this beautiful song of the season, "Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming." O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen. There's an old gospel song that begins something like, "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That one is Jesus, the only one. That's all is Jesus, God's only Son. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." Anybody remember that song besides me? Oh, good. A couple people do. I can still hear the deep, rich bass baritone of George Beverly Shea singing those reassuring words at Billy Graham crusades as they emanated from our 13-inch black and white Sears Silvertone television purchased somewhere in Kansas City, Elena, in about 1950. To be truthful, the song isn't that old, just 4 years older than I am. It came to mind, I suppose, because the holiday season is a time for nostalgia, for remembering family, friends, faith traditions, the ghosts of Christmas past. Though the song is sentimental, it seems a fitting response to today's text. Both Jeremiah and the people of Judah and Luke and his early church community could well sing these words. In times like these, you need a Savior. The prophet Jeremiah is writing to a conquered people whose land has been decimated, whose capital has been devastated, and whose temple has been destroyed. The leading citizens of the land have been hauled off to exile in Babylon. These are desperate times. In times like these, you need a Savior. Luke is writing to his faith community of Christ followers after another time of devastation in Judah, with Jerusalem again laid low and the temple destroyed. The little band of folk who have committed themselves to following the Jesus way are under siege from every side. It's an enormous challenge to sustain their witness. In times like these, you need a Savior. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine presence here. In times like these, we need a Savior. This gospel hymn or gospel song was written by a pastor's wife named Ruth Casey Jones. She and her husband, Bert, hosted an evangelistic radio show from the living room of their Erie, Pennsylvania home for over 55 years. The show was called appropriately, A Visit with the Joneses. Mother Jones was a self-taught pianist, an organist who penned a number of hymns and songs over the years, the best known of which is this one, the Solid Rock, or more commonly called In Times Like These, We Need a Savior. Song may be dated and overly sentimental for our times and tastes, but the thing about it that continues to capture my attention is the context in which it came to be. You see, Mother Jones wrote this song in 1943. At the height of World War II, she wrote it because she was distressed by what she was reading in her daily paper. I wonder how she would feel if she was reading the paper today. She saw the casualty lists. She was keeping a household with 5 children and a husband on wartime rations. She experienced the stress and strain of those troubled times. Life was challenging, difficult, stressful. In times like these, you need a Savior. It feels very much to me like this song of hope, that this was a song of hope and promise for Ruth Casey Jones. She said it came to her as a gift from God when she really needed it. Like Mother Jones, Jeremiah and Luke receive and sing their own songs of hope and promise. After 29 chapters of ranting and raving, of weeping and wailing at the recalcitrance of his people, Jeremiah pens four chapters that are often called the little book of consolation or comfort. Jeremiah, as he tried to warn his people of the dire circumstances they faced if they continued the path they were on, but they didn't listen, and now their lives lay in ruin. In the midst of that desolation, Jeremiah does something crazy. Anybody remember what Jeremiah does? Some of you Bible scholars, Gary, what does Jeremiah do? He buys a plot of land from his cousin, who you might imagine is eager to unload what he sees as a worthless investment in a devastated country. But for Jeremiah, buying the land is a genuine gesture of hope that God will someday restore the land and its people, even though he himself will not be there to witness it. Reminds me of that ancient Greek proverb, society grows great when old folks, like some of us, plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. It's a fundamental act of hope for a future that one will not see or only sees dimly on a far horizon. Jeremiah prophesies for God earlier in the chapter preceding. He says, "See, I'm going to gather them from all the lands to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place and I will settle them in safety. They shall be my people and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me for all time, that is, hold me in awe for all time, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, never to draw back from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing good to them, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul, says Yahweh." Such words of hope sprouting from the chaos of destruction and exile. Jeremiah, the ranting, raving, weeping, wailing prophet of doom, believes that the future is ultimately in God's hands, and he stakes his hope on God's promises being fulfilled. Jeremiah recognizes that he lives in a time and a place in desperate need of a Savior, and so he proclaims, from the heart of his hope, "The days are surely coming, says the Holy One, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Holy One is our righteousness." In times like these, we need a nation and a city that will be known by the name, "The Holy One is our righteousness." We need a Savior to help us make it so. Luke says Jesus is sitting with his disciples teaching in the temple. From his own prophetic perspective, he sees what lies ahead for his people. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Oh, it's not a pretty picture, is it? It's troubled time, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And still, in the midst of the turmoil of the times, Luke says Jesus holds hope. He says from the depths of their desperation, they will see the human one coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, this is a warning for us, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What a remarkable paradox. When things couldn't get worse, Christ appears in glory. Look at a fig tree, he continues. Any tree, for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. At least that's what we count on, right? The same here. When you see these things happen, he says, you know God's beloved community is about here. Sounds crazy. Doesn't it sound crazy? When things hit rock bottom, when they've gotten just about as bad as they can possibly be, that's the very time to be on vigilant watch, because God's beloved community is just around the corner. It's times like these we need a Savior. And behold, we have one. Jesus has come to dwell among us, God in human form, and Christ will come again in glory to establish God's reign on earth. You, friends, you can invest all your hope in that promise. Well, we live in troubled times. The list of troubles threatens to overwhelm us. Incivility, inhospitality, inbred selfishness, ignorance, hatred, fear, violence, all run rampant. Leaders betray us and undermine the promise of our welfare. Ugliness surrounds us. The pandemic continues with new strains still evolving. Many are in despair. What do you think of a Honduran mother with a husband and five children to care for? What do you think she might sing in 2021 as she treks the hundreds of miles from her homeland to her hope of a better life? What song might come from the parents of a child gunned down on the streets of Los Angeles? What might be the chorus from first responders trying to deal with COVID? In times like these, we need a Savior. Perhaps this will be our hymn of hope this Advent, as we wait and watch in wonder for the Savior to appear and move among us once more. In times like these, we need a Savior, and lo, Christ appears around us, in us, and through us. The Savior of the world comes again and again and again. As an Advent activity, this is the first Sunday of Advent, you've got 40 days. As an Advent activity this year, I urge you, look around. See where Christ might be entering in. Then write your own song or poem. Plant a tree whose leaves will sprout and give shade long after you're gone. Engage in some Christ-like activity. Look for the face of Christ in all that you encounter. Live as if you believed God's goodness really is the ultimate order of the day. Trust that the Spirit is alive and still working wonders even in this weary world. By investing ourselves in the one who comes, we may find ourselves sprouting hope in a world hungry to hear a good word. Oh, come, Emmanuel. We need a Savior. Amen.